Welcome to the Financial Collective. If you're looking to get your financial house in order, this is the place you want to be. We cover every topic that touches your financial journey. We're here to empower you with straightforward financial information and education. It is our hope that you can take some of the financial gems we've shared today and apply them to jumpstart, improve, or solidify your financial journey. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Financial Collective. I am Kiva Sturtevant, the money coach, and I have with me, of course, Mr. Frank Henderson of Frank Henderson Financial. How are you doing, Frank?
What's up, Special K? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm going to say this right now. I'm just going to do a pre-prediction, but okay. I think this is probably going to be the most listened to podcast we've done.
Okay.
Because of the subject.
I'm with you. I agree. I set my faith with you.
I think so. So, Frank, you posted something on Facebook and right. We said, oh, we have got to take this to the mic because it was so many responses, opinions, you know, concerns, just all of that. So we're going to be talking today about couples and money.
Yeah.
Couples and money. How do we make all this right so it works for everybody, all involved?
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be good. You know, now, you know what's so cool about this, Frank? You know, you have your expertise. I have my expertise. You know, I'm going to be coming with, you know, the facts about the personalities of money and blah, blah, blah. And you just always put that edge on it. And I love that. So the listening audience, you're going to get a little bit of it all. So, you know what? I say we just jump right on in.
Let's
Frank,
do it.
Talk a little bit about what you posted on Facebook.
Well, it was a status that I saw from a guy named Marcus Quarles Sr. And he was with his wife, Ashley, and they were standing with the picture. And he went, if I'm paying rent, she's paying utilities. If I'm paying the car note, she's paying the insurance. If I'm washing the dishes, she's cooking. If I'm paying for the movie, she's buying the snacks. If I'm washing clothes, she gonna fold them. If I'm sweeping the floor, she gonna mop it. If I'm paying for dinner, she leaving the tip. And if I'm giving money to her, she's giving me money too. We both stack it. They say this is a partnership. Ain't no way a person's supposed to do it alone. So he says, you guys want to have a relationship where somebody pays for everything, and that just ain't real. It's just about money when it's that way. So he had 56,000 likes, 5,600 comments, 171,000 shares. So it's definitely resonating with people. So I shot it over to a lot of my friends and then we got into this tussle about it. And so here we are.
Here we are. So, okay, let me just say this, Frank.
Okay.
When couples come together and discuss money, you already know.
Yes.
It's going to be a deep conversation. It's going to be lively. It's going to be opinionated.
Yes.
Here's the thing. When a couple is coming together, just as they're going to have the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter of their relationship, so is your money journey.
Wow.
It's going to be a time in your financial journey as a couple. You're going to be in the spring of your money, the summer of your money, the fall, and the winter of your money.
Wow.
Now, I don't know. What did you think, Frank? We're assuming this couple was married, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So they might be a little further along with their money journey.
Right.
And that's probably what works for them. I mean, what do you think? What impression did you get?
Well, the impression that I get is that they definitely had some conversations about it and they figured out a way to make their partnership work, which is, you know, if we give a full disclaimer here, what works for them might not work for everybody because different people are different ways in relationships. And, you know, sometimes you got to be careful how you do things in a relationship based upon your partner's strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
So right. What he was saying was, obviously, I have a partner that understands that if I pay the rent or the mortgage, she got the utilities. And for them, that's cool.
Right.
So when I looked at it, I got to honestly say, I liked it.
Yes. Yes. You know what? I'm not knocking it, really, because right. Like you said, it works for them.
Right.
You have to do, as a couple, you have to do what works for you. Right. Because you said something very important, Frank. They had a conversation. They have an understanding. They have an agreement. They arrived at this place on how they're handling their money in their household.
Right.
So, you know, from the financial planning perspective, I'll go back to, you know, if you're just starting to date, that's a whole separate phase of money agreements, whether they're implied or discussed.
Right.
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 And as you continue on and, you know, maybe you become, you know, a couple officially, and maybe you become engaged, and maybe you get married. All of those facets of a relationship and money have different right. rules, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So I'm
because if you're my girlfriend, you're not going to know what my wife would know. Or what my
Say
fiance. If you're
Say
my girlfriend, you're not going to know what my fiance or my wife would know. All you would know is that he got dapper. He scooped me up. We went to a nice dinner. He yes. dropped the money and the tip. And then we went on about our business.
Yes. So let's start there. I love that you said that, Frank. Let's start there.
Okay.
Let's start from the point of we're just dating.
Right.
Is the guy, the man, the partner always supposed to just shell out the cash, drop that credit card 100% of the time?
I think when you're dating, the guy wants to carry favor with the girl that he's pursuing. So the first time they get together, he needs to take care of everything. Then
the
as
first
they,
date.
Yeah, definitely the
okay.
first date.
I agree on that. Yes.
I would say the first few dates. I would say the first year. But as they get to know each other and understand one another and they have conversations and they hear what each other says about money, how they look at the world, their worldview about money, then they can begin to adjust how they do things.
Yes, as more time goes on, right?
Right.
As they
because
engage.
You could be involved with someone that has a child by another man that isn't doing what he's supposed to do. So she supplements that and does more in her household. You know, she may say, hey, I don't have the extra to do this.
Right.
And he does. So yeah. I can see him, if he really likes her and he cares about her and he wants to be in a relationship with her, then he's like, if I want to go to this nice restaurant, then I know I'm going to be footing the bill. You feel me, Kiva?
I feel you on that. He's going to make it happen, right?
He's going to make it happen because he sees her. He likes her.
That's right. No, that's right. That's right. You know, I think I'm a traditionalist too, I'll call it. You know, of course, in my opinion, the man is supposed to pay. But I think too, even on the first date, at least offer to leave the tip as the female. At least
right.
offer to leave the tip. That's just my thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then sometimes too, you're having such a great time, you decide to go have after dinner drinks.
Right.
Maybe she can pick up the after dinner drinks.
Right. It's true.
You know, I think, yeah, I think it can also set a little precedent on very early. What do you think of that, Frank?
Yeah, it definitely sets a precedent. Now, in America, I got to say, especially in the last 20 years, Kiva, you correct me if I'm wrong. It's almost as if there's this expectation that he is going to do those things. And so these guys that are coming up now,
right?
They're a little bit different. They're a little bit more like, you know, we're going to split this bill. We're going to go Dutch. We're going to whatever it is. They're a little bit different. Some yeah. guys are more old fashioned. Some guys are not. So you got to, as a person, whether you're a male or a female, figure out, is this the kind of person that I can have my money conversation with?
I like that. I was thinking about this, Frank, and I can only ask this because I'm not a male. So I need the male perspective.
Okay.
You know, if as a male, you are expected to pay, you know, every time in the first few months, do you select a different kind of restaurant versus, you know, do you go to Red Lobster versus Ruth Chris?
I'm so tight. I never go to Ruth Chris.
Okay.
That's for the NBA players and stuff.
Gotcha.
I'm talking about on my level. I'm talking about living on my level.
Okay.
If I like somebody and we're going out and we're doing those kind of things, I never think about the restaurant. I only think about where does she want to go and what does she like. Never think about anything because I'm the one that's trying to curry favor. So
Okay. I like that. So if it's someone you're genuinely interested in, you are really mm-hmm. thinking about, I'm trying to dial in to this woman.
Right.
I like that. Okay. I like that.
Here.
I like mm-hmm. that. You know, one of the things too, and you know, again, I want to just talk about the phases of the financial journey of couples. So, you know, we talked a little bit about the dating thing. So let's talk a little bit about, let's say a couple is engaged, right? Let's say they got mm-hmm. past the dating and now they're engaged. What does that financial journey look like? You know, have credit reports yet? Have you talked about your salaries? Have you talked about your responsibilities?
Right. I think you start getting into that at that phase. That's when you start talking about all those kinds of things because you're trying. If you're engaged to a person, then you have some rights that are held in trust to me.
Yeah.
So what happens is you can see the bank statement. I don't care. I'm not going to take it off the table because you came over.
Right.
You can see the bank statement. You can know what my salary is. You can see you can know what my credit is like along those lines, because then that's when you have to figure out how you work together.
That's right.
What you have, what tools do you have? What resources do you have? What resources do you have coming?
Right. Yeah. I mean, what can we, you know, there's always, and I always say this with my clients, and you probably do the same thing, Frank, you know, there's always that one, you know, that, you know, one is stronger than the other in the credit, maybe, you know, one is stronger during the salary phase, you know, and you have to just plug into that and make it work.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, in every relationship, that's the case. Think about it. Unless people are working at the same place, doing the same job, and they got a fair employer, they're probably making different income.
That's so true.
Yeah, so everybody has to know when you walk into that situation, there's going to be a difference of income, and we need to figure out how do we make this income work for us as a couple? What things do we have to consider? Are there children that we have to consider?
Right.
Do you already have a house that we have to consider? You know what I mean?
That's
do we
so
have
true.
Things from a previous relationship that we have to consider? You know
right.
what I mean? We have all of these things to look at. So when you sit down and you're in that engaged phase and you have to begin to figure that out, because if you don't, it's going to blow up in your face.
It's going to blow up. Ooh, say that again, Frank.
Blow up in your face.
You are so
right. I don't
mind
blowing up, Kiva, but I don't want it to blow up in my face.
Right, right. Because, you know, life, we got some blow-ups and hiccups, but just
right.
not like out the blue, didn't expect it. We'll be right back. one thing I want to really talk about to the with the listening audience, Frank, and I, this is my financial planner side. There are five different financial personality types. And I would just like to challenge the couples that are listening, know what your partner's financial personality is. You know, love languages. Right. We all know the love language thing, right?
Ooh, this is good. But I can't wait to hear this.
Everybody has a financial personality type. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, there are. It's tried and true and proven and researched and all that. So let me just talk a little bit. I'm not going to go into too much depth, but the five personality types. And some of it is really kind of you expect it. You have spenders. They believe money is meant for spending. They have no trouble parting with their dollars. None. Then you have at the totally different end of that spectrum, the saver. Mm-hmm. They want a coupon, a good deal, an app. You know what I mean? They don't want to pay full price for anything. All right? That's the saver. That's the second one. The third one is what's called a risk-averse personality. And they place just financial security as their number one concern or just number one priority. They're going to research it before they spend a certain amount of money. They're going to plan it. They're going to try to pay cash for it. That's the risk averse person or personality when it comes to money. The last two, and you probably already know what these are, the gambler and the flyer. The gambler is money is just, hey, as it comes, I'm going to have fun. If I don't have it, I'm good.
Wow.
Yes, the gambler. This is so interesting. And, you know, sometimes it's almost like, hey, if I take this big old risk, you know, if you're in a relationship and it's like something shows up that, hey, if we do X, you know, we're going to have this big payoff of Y, you know, just someone that kind of attaches themselves to this big payoff when it comes to money. You know what I mean? That's a money personality. And the last one, the fifth one, is a flyer. And it's just what that is. They just fly by the seat of their pants.
Wow.
They don't pay attention to money. They don't think about money. They really don't use it like as, you know, or think about it as a status symbol or security. They are just like, I'm living my life in the wind. If I got money today, that's a great day. If I don't, it's not a great day and it's good because there's tomorrow.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think I got a little bit of all of that in me.
We probably all do, Frank. Yes. But those are seriously the five money personalities. And so I think it too, and I think you said something so imperative there. It just depends on where you are in your financial journey, right?
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
That is really.
But you want to
how a person that's a spender and a person that's a saver will have to work out how they do it.
Yes. And it's that is truly doable. And actually, it's funny you say that. That's normally the two areas. When a couple comes together, those are usually the categories. Well, sometimes, I'll say a majority of the time where they'll land. The spender, one is a spender, one is a saver. You know, sometimes the other one is a gambler, a flyer, or a risk adverse. But how do you mesh those two personalities and make it still work?
Yeah. One thing I've seen, Kiva, is that the person that is a spender, that likes to spend, that likes nice things, they don't fully appreciate the saver until they go through something.
Mm-hmm.
And that saver has, because of their strategy of saving, has saved the household or saved that couple's butt.
Yes.
Because they had a strategy that says we have to do this. Like, you know, when you grow up in a black neighborhood, in a black community, you learn that your mama always has some extra money somewhere.
The coffee can.
The coffee can.
The Maxwell House coffee can.
Right.
Yes.
So you begin to see how, you know, people aren't really appreciated all the time until there's a crisis.
You're so right. You're so right. And then maybe, you know, you can get their attention then. Like, maybe the saving thing isn't such a bad thing.
Because what I try to tell people is, well, if you know your husband likes to spend on nice shoes and sneakers and hats and t-shirts and, you know, he likes to look the part, you know, he likes to be fly.
Right.
And you know you're a saver, then what you have to do is give him a little bit of your saving and he has to give you a little bit of his spending.
Okay.
So you have to say, I'm not going to be able to be completely the saver that I am. So now instead of saving $200 a week, I need to save $125. So the spender has to say, okay, I get it. At least we saving something. At least I have $75 to spend.
The compromise. Versus,
right. So they compromise and then they begin to see, well, you know, we can look the part and save.
Right.
It takes all of the stress out of the relationship.
I like that.
When they let it work. Right. When they let it work, it took the stress out. Because she already knows I'm not going to be able to change him. And if I don't compromise some, he's just going to be spending money I don't know about.
Right.
Well, she's going to be sneaking shoes in the house when I ain't looking or when I ain't around or when I'm watching the game. It's going to be some boxes of shoes going down the hallway.
Right.
So when you work that out and say, hey, this is what you were the spender. Here's the budget for the spending. And then just I used to say, hey, as long as when I go to the store and I want to buy a honey bun and a drink, I can get my honey bun and drink. I don't care. Because I'm the kind of guy, I can live off $20 a week.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm not like that. I go to the grocery store. I buy the stuff I want to cook. I usually eat at home. But every once in a while, I step out and say, hey, when I want to go out, I want to make sure my money is there.
I want to make
as
it happen.
As long as you're not spending all that, I don't have no problem. And as long as you paid us first,
right.
You got paid first, I'm good.
Let me say this. I appreciate you sharing that, Frank. And, you know, how do I run my household? And we kind of discussed this a little bit. How do we set up our financial household? So we're talking about right. couples that are maybe engaged, but definitely married. How do we split right. the bills? How do we split the bills? That's $1 million. I know you get that when you meet with people. I know that.
I do.
Let me just.
You got a couple of different ways people do
yeah,
it.
Shit.
There's some people.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
The hubby thing. The wife just uses her money for what she wants to use it. If the kids need to pay for karate classes, the wife will pay for it because the husband's like, "Hey, I'm paying this mortgage. I'm paying these utilities. I'm paying these cars. All that extra stuff. You got to do that." Then you have some couples that are like, "Hey, we got separate accounts. We put all our money in this account to pay our bills." So I've seen that as well.
Right.
And then I've seen couples where it's like he got his own account. She got her own account. Hey, what do we need to do? Okay, let me put my half on the table. A lot of people do it different ways. And I think the couples that I see that say, hey, let's split things down the middle. I'm not saying this is all the time, but usually they have experienced some type of relationship.
Trauma.
Hardship.
Yes.
And they're like, I ain't never going to be broke again.
N-E-V-A, never.
They're like, baby,
right?
I'm never going to be in this position again.
Right.
And so they hold tight to their money and to their funds.
Yes. And we show up with that baggage.
Because it's the back of their mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
We show up with that baggage.
This person can do the same thing to me the other person did. And the last time was hard to recover. I don't want to go through that again.
Right. I get that.
Mm-hmm. So I always say, if you're going to be a couple and you know you're going to be together, then you just need to have a money strategy.
I like that. A money strategy.
Say, what is that strategy? What is our strategy for how we do money?
Right. I like that. And have that, like, just be willing to take that deep dive conversation with no hole, you know, just honest, authentic. Let's just put it on the table.
In me, with me, my first thing is, I know we're going to spend some money because you can't. Money is currency. It's got to flow. We're going to spend some money.
Right.
It's got to flow somewhere in some department store, some grocery store, some clothing store. Hey, money's going to flow. It's got to come out of the household.
That's right.
It's going to the electricity. It's going somewhere. But my main thing is to put the emphasis on how do we save?
Right. Right. You know, savings.
Because most people you meet never save. They only spend.
And one of the things, and I'm sure you talk to your clients about this too, Frank, I always challenge my clients to build a lifestyle around the amount of money you want to save. So if you want to save $500 a month, build a lifestyle that allows you to do that.
Right.
Not, oh, we paid the bills. Oh, we got 150 left. Oh, okay. That's what we're going to save. No. You are in control of your money and what your bills are.
I tell people, yes, Kiva. Yes. Saving is you're paying yourself first.
Right. Right.
I don't care if you do it through your 401k. I don't care how you do it, whether you're doing it through a cash building life insurance policy. I don't care how you're doing it, just a regular savings account. Money market is your call, but you have to pay yourself first.
You know, and the thing is, I love that you said that, Frank. It's always back to the basics. Everybody, we told all of our clients that the only difference between someone that grows wealth and doesn't is what they practice. And just what you said, Frank, do you pay yourself first? Because the millionaire next door, they pay theirself first for many years.
Yes.
They don't care what the latest shoe, the latest craze, handbag, whatever it is. I don't know. They could care less.
Yep. They really don't.
Have I paid myself first?
Right.
And can I buy stock in the things that you stand in line for? Let me go buy that stock.
Yes. Yes. Because that's how important it boils down to, because let's just say you've got a couple, they love each other deeply, love each other deeply. It's like gazing into each other's eyes. I can't live without you. I can't live without you. You're my boo. You're my boo.
Right.
All of that. Let that money get funny.
Ooh, some true colors going to come out.
Yeah. It's not that it's true colors. It's, it's that they have emotions that they didn't know they had.
Right, right, right.
Centered around money. And when it pops up, if they don't handle those conversations right.
Right.
And people start calling people broke this and broke that. When people can't eat what they really want to eat and wear what they really want to wear, and their kids can't participate in the things they really want them to participate in.
Yes.
Or they feel like they're getting up every day and going to work and they can't get ahead. It impacts relationships.
It does. It affects everything.
And then we listen to that Chris Brown song. Chris Brown is like, when a rich Negro wants you, your Negro can't do nothing for you.
Don't bring a lyric in it, Frank. Don't bring a lyric in it.
Yes. Oh, then they say, hey, these girls ain't loyal. Well, it's not that. It's not really the case. It's that y'all ain't sit down and talk about a money strategy.
Yes, that's so true.
You can head it off at the impasse. Can you even think about it? If somebody comes to you and they say, well, this is how I like to eat. This is where I like to drive. This is where I like to live. And you know that's not your value system. You might want to let her or him walk on by.
That's right. That's right. Say that again.
You might want to let them walk on by.
Let them walk on by. Yes, because our values around money, you don't have to be perfectly matched with that or yoked with that, as they say, but kind of similar. You just can't be on totally opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to money. You just can't.
Right.
You know, right. This is one.
You gotta understand, we're not going to Ruth Chris every night.
No, that would be a no. It's our anniversary. And a milestone anniversary, not the third anniversary. It's the fifth anniversary. It's a milestone.
Milestone.
Here's one thing that I want to offer to our listening audience, Frank, and it's just, how do we split the bills? Because, you know, that's the million-dollar question, right? Mm-hmm. When you say, you know, you're married. You just say you're married. Mm-hmm. You're in the same household. You're paying bills. This is one thing. I'm going to share what I tell clients, and I just want to hear what you tell clients. Sure. I tell clients, you pay bills to maintain the household based on the percent of the income you bring into the house. And I'm going to keep it simple. I'm just going to use this number. Let's just say it's a $100,000 salary. I know it's a big salary, but I'm just trying to keep it simple. $100,000 salary together. The husband brings in 60, the wife brings in 40. In my world, the husband pays 60% of the bills because he brings in 60% of the salary. The wife pays 40% of the bills to run the household because she brings in 40% of the salary. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty cut and dry for me. Outside of that, you have separate accounts. So let me just say this now. I just want to be clear for people that are listening. Okay. You have a bill paying account. That's the only joint account you have in the beginning once you're mm-hmm. married. You mm-hmm. paying 60%, 60% of your check goes into that joint account. She's paying 40%, 40% of her check goes into that joint account. The remainder, you know, it just stays in your own individual accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After so many years, I'll touch on that in a little bit, but go ahead. What do you tell your clients, Frank?
Well, I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna keep it 100 with you, Kiva.
Please do.
I say to my clients, I ask them, what do you presently do? And I ask them, is that working for you?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Then I've had people that do the percentage approach. I call it the percentage approach, what you just said.
Right.
And some people can do that. Say, hey, he made 80%, so he paid, or she made 20, or she made 80, so they do that. But ultimately, this is where the rubber hits the road for me. How is your partner's psyche about the way y'all do things?
Okay.
Because if something bubbles up, if they're not happy, if the wife is not happy or the husband's not happy, they may not be saying anything, but they may not be happy. He may be at the barbershop complaining. She may be at the beauty salon complaining.
Right.
So I say, what is your psyche like about this? Let's have a real convo about it.
Right.
Because we don't want to put something into place that you're kind of resentful about. So
like
it comes down to what is going to make y'all happy.
Right. And have that
right
conversation.
Happy house, happy spouse, happy house. That's what I say.
I don't always agree with that, Frank. I don't.
I know. Most people don't. But I'm saying, if we're doing it in a way that she's happy and he's happy, the chances of them continuing to do it are high.
Because
it's like
true.
This to me, Kiva. Let's say you're married and you and your wife are eating dinner at home. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all can take this truth and make this parallel on any level you want to. But if you're eating at home, your chances of stopping by Burger King, McDonald's, or anywhere else to eat are slim to none.
Correct.
Because you ate at home and you're happy. But if you didn't eat at home and you're not happy, Burger King, McDonald's, every little commercial you saw looks really good.
Looks
and
good.
They're on your radar. They're on your radar.
Right.
So well, the same thing, if you have a money strategy that's good at home, you're not as tempted to do stuff outside of what you guys plan.
I like that. And I get that. But see, I'm from the old school, okay. Frank. When my husband walks through the door, he needs to smell a home cooked meal bubbling in the background. That's just
Watch
the way I was raised.
Now,
it was just the way I was raised. He needs to smell what I'm cooking.
Right.
But I understand we're in a whole new world now, right? And sometimes it's about reservations and where we're going. However,
right.
And let's talk about that non-spoken, I called it implied agreements. It isn't spoken, right. But it's implied.
Mm-hmm.
When my husband comes home, slippers ready, house is clean, I look cute, and it's something cooking. That's considered old fashioned.
Right.
That's how my mom was with my dad. I saw her put on many a day red lipstick before daddy was coming home. She didn't have on red lipstick all day. Mm-hmm. But when she looked at her little watch, oh, daddy's coming home. Let me put on my red lipstick. And she was in the kitchen cooking. What do you think about that, Frank? What do you think our young generations think about that?
Well, I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think we saw that. But there's another side we didn't see. And the side we didn't see is the stress that man might have been under. And this is what I say about it, Kiva. Like, sometimes you can go to the family reunion and everybody's having a good time. Big mama talking, right. Little mama talking, little mama and big mama of the future talking. Everybody loud. Everybody having a good time.
Right.
But that old man that carried that burden of that family for 55, 60 years, he's sitting over in a chair, broke down.
Not saying anything. Because
you hear Miss Keelan?
I can hear you.
He's sitting at the in the chair, broken down. And that's why I think a lot of men are dying early, because they're trying to be something they're not called to be. Now, this is the preacher side of me. And this mm-hmm. is what I say to people all the time. I say, people tell us as men to provide and protect. And I say, those are things that we should be working at and things that we should always be trying to do. But one title we don't have is to be Jehovah Jireh, to be the provider.
Mm.
We have to rely on God. And I say the first couple, Adam didn't go buy a garden. He didn't go plant some trees. He just came into something that God had provided for him. And it's the same thing in relationships. If you think about it properly, and the husband and the wife say, we are working every day. We are building business. We are building enterprises. We right. are working together as much mm-hmm. as we can. But we're trying to make sure that the load doesn't kill either one of us.
Wow. Wow.
Doesn't stress us out. Because, that's that's why they say
that's profound.
Women outlive men, right?
That's
they
right.
They say women outlive men. But right. they're not out there bringing their back like the men are.
Right. What the black male has to deal with out in the world. I get it. Oh, I so get mm-hmm. it. That's why. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, so he's just reserved. He recognizes that, I'm going to work myself to death.
Right. Right. And
people he's so strong. He's such a good man. He did this. Your daddy was this. Your granddaddy was this.
But it's unaddressed trauma.
Yes.
It's unaddressed trauma. I get it, Frank. I get it.
Yeah.
That's why I so believe. I'm so glad we're saying this in this moment. It's just hitting me in this moment, Frank. That's why I'm such a big believer in making your home a haven for your man.
Yes.
He goes out there and he fights every day.
Mm-hmm.
We all know this. We all know the story, the experience. When he comes home, he don't want round two. He wants a haven because I've been out there fighting all day. That's unspoken. He may not even want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But baby, when you come home, you king, what you need, we're good.
Right.
And then he's going to show up the next morning, go back out that door and fight again. So when my young people, I'm not knocking our young people, but we've had these conversations, Frank. Well, no, he need to consider me too. Well, he need to make sure. Yeah, but y'all fighting two separate battles. Make sure the battle he's fighting, you are softening that battle for him. And vice versa. And vice versa. But the black male is fighting such a battle.
Right. And he has to understand, Kiva, that you've been there, that the wife has been there. that she probably hasn't really talked to any adults all day, and that she needs some adult living too. And they got to step out. They got to go have, they got to be like what they need to be so that everybody's getting the nourishment that their soul needs.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But we don't want to wear anybody out, because even at home, when a woman do all the cooking, all the cleaning, all the dishwashing, cleaning up baby poop, all of that stuff, it breaks them down.
Oh, so it does.
You have a way that we lessen the stress on every couple, on every marriage. There has to be a way to lessen that stress. And one of the ways you can do that is by having a strategy session about how do we flow in this family.
In this family, right. Because when you have that conversation, I love that you said that, Frank. I so agree with you. Because when you have that conversation, the money piece softens.
Yeah.
It does. It's not it that really big does. Bad monster in the room anymore. Right. When you get that right, what you just said,
yeah,
that big bad money monster dissipates a little bit, because you understand what's important. Go ahead.
So this is how I say what couples have to do is, here's the question. What do you expect of me financially?
How simple is that question? I love it.
It's powerful. Yes,
it's very powerful. Simplistic
and powerful. That way she's not walking up and down the hallway, stomping her feet.
Click clacking, click clacking, I call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I've been in a relationship. I've been in a marriage where she was disappointed. She didn't tell me, but I saw some stuff she said to her girlfriend where she was disappointed because I said, hey, we're going to buy a house. She thought I was going to buy a house in the first 90 days.
See?
But because she didn't get it, she was upset. So this is where I learned this. What do you expect of me financially?
That's right.
Because we can have big dreams, but we got to figure out to put proper expectations on those dreams.
Right.
So you talk. So you have a combo. You talk.
You have to have that conversation. And here's the other piece, as you know, financial advisors, financial planners, whatever you want to call it, everyone shows up with a picture of what it is. And that's fine. You know, different credit scores, different salaries, different experiences, money, different personalities around money. You just have to dial into, this is exactly where we are today, but how do we build to make it work?
Right.
No one shows up to the table perfectly matched. Yolk, no one does. Just figure out, how do we make this work for our household?
Right. So we're going to start at the bottom.
All right. Because we can work on all kinds of stuff. You know, I say in love, there's no measuring stick. Throw that measuring stick away. True love, ain't no measuring stick. Let's just figure out how this works for us.
That's right.
So
that's real.
We have to. We really have to. Frank, I am so glad we came together to have this conversation, because as you know, money and couples, that's a whole big thing.
Yes, it will tear a relationship up.
It will. And the other piece is too, and I have to admit, I recently read this and I thought it was so profound, because everyone talks about communication in a relationship. Oh, communication, communication. Mm-hmm. But here's the caveat, and I thought it was so good. We can communicate all day, but if you don't comprehend what I'm saying, I could just be on the other end yapping.
Yep.
So there has to be comprehension of what I'm saying. Not agreement. Do you just comprehend what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's
another. And can I add one piece to that?
Please do. Yes.
I want to say this to couples, because this is, to me, big time. If you are a man or a woman and you come into a relationship with a person that's been through hell, been through maybe a bankruptcy or been through a foreclosure, or they've lost everything and they moved in with somebody, or they couch surfed for a while.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. You got a person that you have to understand things are not going to turn around today. So if you're not willing to put that work in to make sure that he or she feels comfortable about where you guys are going, and to understand that patience is going to be big. You just need to leave that person alone.
I like that.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to change them overnight. No. Because I had a friend one time that married this girl. She had a couple of kids. He came in. He was saying, she don't listen to me. She don't listen. I said, well, man, she got two kids by two different guys. That's two broken relationships right there. And one of them she wasn't married to. So she was married a couple of times before. I said, if you think you're going to go into that house and inside of 30 days flip that house to what you think is right side up.
That's right.
You're crazy, man. She's been through. Your job is to make sure that she never, ever, ever experiences what she did before.
I love that.
So in order to do that, you can't use a hatchet, my brother. You have to use a scalpel.
I love it. Ooh, Frank, say that again, please.
In order to do that, you cannot use a hatchet. You can't come in there with all this force and cutting and telling what's going to happen and what ain't going to happen. And your baby daddy ain't going to do this. And he going to pay child support and he going to do that. You got to come in there with a lot of wisdom and a scalpel to do what needs to be done to carve out the future you and her talked about that you wanted.
I love that. You know what, Frank? I think we need to just leave on that point. Love that. The hatchet versus the scalpel. That's so profound. Yes. It's so simplistic, yet so profound. If you would like to connect with Mr. Frank Henderson, he is phenomenal. He just knows his stuff. Frank Henderson Financial. Did I say that right, Frank?
That's it, FrankHendersonFinancial.com.
I forgot the .com. If you want to reach me, I'm Kiva Sturtevant, and you can reach me at KivaMoneyCoach.com. Yes, I do have Kiva Money Coach. So thank you for joining us. I truly hope you just pull some gems, some nuggets that you can just really use in your financial journey, your financial walk. Just don't be afraid to have a super authentic conversation and just be honest. Yeah. It is what it is. Yes. I'm telling you, when you have those conversations of authenticity and not assumption, you can take strides in where you're trying to go financially.
True.
Thank you for joining us. This is the Financial Collective. Until we meet again, everyone take care and be safe.
Thanks for listening to the Financial Collective. It has been our highest honor spending time with you. Make sure you subscribe today and share us with those in need of financial information. Got questions? Hit us up at thefinancialcollective@gmail.com. Until next time, have a great day.